At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter by the qualities that are most important to you. Then, book free 15-minute consultations with any therapist you're interested in seeing. And because 95% of therapists at Alma accept insurance, you can find care that's affordable too. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy30 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy30.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is Jericho.
All right, welcome to Talk is Jericho. It is the pod of thunder and rock and roll, and backed by popular demand, as we hear every single Friday, it's the Duff McKagan joke of the week.
Hey, Chris Jericho, it's Duff McKagan calling you from beautiful Pacific Northwest. I'm overlooking the Ferris wheel here in downtown Seattle, Puget Sound. Just beautiful, just beautiful. That reminds me, Moses and Jesus and some old guys were out playing golf. And they get to a par three over water. And Moses says to Jesus, and the old guy says, $1,000 who wins this hole. And Jesus goes, oh, okay. And the old guy, all right. So Moses parks the waters of the little lake that's between him and the green. And he just skips the ball across the barren ground, and it hops up onto the green, and it's like 5 feet next to the hole, close to the hole. And then the water recedes back in, Jesus said they took a one iron, you know, flat iron, and he hit his ball just skidding across the water, you know, somewhat, and it hopped up on the green and 5 feet close to the ball, 5 feet in the hole. So the old guy goes, all right, kicks out a driver, smacks this ball, it hooks left, it hits a tree branch, goes skyrocketing off, hits the side of a mountain, bounces off the mountain, hits a crow, lands on the crow. The crow flies down, drops it about 10 feet from the hole, and rolls right in the hole. And Moses says to Jesus, well, that's the last time I played golf with your dad. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
I had to go a long way for that one. That was a good one. I enjoyed that. Thanks to Duff for always coming through with a great joke every single week. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer going back on tour this summer with that little band called Guns N' Roses. We need to get some more jokes from Duff. We're all out, so hopefully he will come through this week and call in some more. Very high demand, Duff McKagan's joke of the week. And also high demand, backed by popular demand, it's Talkin' Shop. Yeah, a little bit different though this time. It's Talkin' Shop Sober in New York City with your hosts Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows. And the rotating fourth this time, Kurt Hawkins will be here. Losing streak, Kurt Hawkins. 6 episodes of Talkin' Shop, and this is the first one where we are stone cold sober, doing shots of Red Bull, Monster, and coffee only. Since we recorded this just before Raw 25th anniversary show in the afternoon before we went to the venue, and you might actually enjoy and understand this conversation. We're focused and really finishing stories, but don't get your hope up for the end of that Muhammad Hussein story. That might not make it. We couldn't finish that when we started way back in Talkin' Shop Hawaii because we couldn't really remember what it was. So go ahead, pour yourself a drinky winky, non-alcoholic this time, and get your laugh on. We're still ridiculous. Total shenanigans. It's the return. Gallows, Anderson, Jericho, rotating fourth, Kurt Hawkins, Talkin' Shop 6, sober in New York City, presented by Talk is Jericho. Here we go.
This is actually a monumental moment. The crazy thing is it's been almost a year since the Nuremberg incident, shall we call it.
Which one was that?
It was the drunkest one.
Oh.
Yeah, it was the worst talking shop ever.
This is historic.
So drunk that we decided to go the other route. So welcome to the very first edition of Talking Shop, the sober edition, live in New York City. And I'm going to hand it over to the curator of Talking Shop, the host of the show, Carl Anderson.
Well, like we said, Chris, thanks for giving us this this platform to be on Talking Shop. And I got to say, usually, this as ridiculous as it sounds, most of the Talking Shops that we did sober in Japan actually turned out pretty good, sadly.
That's not true.
I thought they were pretty good. At least we weren't, like, you know, throwing melatonin in different orifices.
And that's also not true.
Slamming 100 different beers.
Listen, just because we're sober doesn't mean that you have to be. So crack a beer, take off your pants, and listen to Talking Shop.
Yeah, that's a good point. Don't let us be a bad influence on you. If you enjoy Talking Shop drinking, please get drunk. Do
please,
it.
No, but we want you to keep drinking. We want to be drinking now.
Crack a few novels, as we said on that Steve Austin VSR's podcast.
Oh man, he loved you guys. Kyle's and Anderson, those guys are funny, motherfucker. Man,
take a drink.
Our brains were floating when we left his house.
If you once again, the rule still applies.
Here's the thing: if you drop F bombs, you still got to drink.
We're gonna have massive caffeine buzzes for Raw 25.
Well, though, that first can that popped was not a beer ski; it was a Monster White Monster, because we got Raw 25th anniversary tonight.
We
do. This is a big deal. Live
I went
in New
across
York.
The street to a Starbucks and got a big giant coffee that was bought to me by MVP. And I'm sure
MVP still was there.
Yeah, but I'm still not sure exactly.
Cheap son of a gun.
I'm still not sure what his name is.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, it's,
is it Hassan? Or is it Alvin?
I think it's Hassan Pedro.
Hassan Montel Vontavious Porter Lewis.
I hate when people call him M. I think that's lame.
Well, that's what I call him. Sorry, jeez.
Excuse
rotating
me.
Fourth.
Well, Dad, do you want to talk who he is?
Maybe you should do the introductions, Chato.
Yeah, do we want the old school guy to come in and tell him who he is?
I mean, it is Raw 25.
Jeez, man.
What the hell's going on? Yet.
I have there a room in this hotel, and you did not invite me.
Screw you, fake.
That's right. The actual fake is actually here.
Out of my butt, Carl.
He's right down the hall.
He's probably next door.
Yeah, sure. I hear you've got him.
He did my wedding.
I hear you've got him.
Hold on a second. What?
Hold on a second.
I didn't know he actually did it.
Oh, he did my wedding. Yeah.
He came to your wedding?
Hold on.
He was the MC.
Did he actually say?
Oh, yeah. It was great.
Because Finkel's just looking for bookings anyway.
What was his booking fee?
He gave me the brother, right? We go way back now.
And his lovely wedded wife.
Well,
you got to introduce him first. He's trying to cut you off.
Yeah, I did cut
you
off.
Yeah, you pay some shit.
The big payoff is like when my wife and I or whoever, he does weddings. When you come in, it's, and Mr. and Mrs. That's the big payoff.
He actually does weddings?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Weddings, bar mitzvahs, anything.
You can YouTube it. There's some unreal...
I guess he's looking for bookings, right?
That's a booking.
Don't you think when we're done with this, we'll take Talking Shop anywhere you want.
We're going to take it on the road. Oh, yeah.
Anywhere.
When our last...
Picnics, sex shops, anywhere. Auto body repair places.
When our last little bit of value in this shitty business dries up and we're just doing nothing. We're not doing the comic book convention route like Virgil and Honky Tonk, man.
No,
we're taking Tish Ship on the road, man.
Tish
Ship. We'll come right to your house. We'll do anything you want. Weddings, parties, bar mitzvahs.
If you got enough money, you can have Chris Jericho in your basement. It's fine.
Garage sales.
Oh, are you gonna be doing that?
Are you ever gonna introduce who this guy is?
Which guy?
He's back.
Oh,
okay.
I said.
Oh my gosh! Wow, the Fink actually made it.
Open the GD door.
Oh yeah, come on in, Fink.
Oh, Fink. Hey, how's it going,
ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the worst podcast ever.
I think it's got.
Here
better.
Are your hosts, Y2J, Chris Jericho.
My introduction was much better when you were low key.
And the subtitle.
That's all I get.
Yeah. Jeez,
this is very low key, guys.
Jeez. Hey,
shut up, Gallows.
Sorry. like we said,
son of a bitch. The machine gun, Carl Anderson.
Yay. And
let me in, too.
Come on in, Dave.
Get out of the way, Howard.
This is my podcast. It is Rule 25 and the Biggest Loser in WWE history with the opposite of the Goldberg streak, Kurt Hawkins.
Kurt Hawkins.
Hey, shut up.
Thanks, Penzer's here as well. It's funny, though. The introductions were a little bit more, a little bit more heavier on my side.
Oh, yeah.
And a little bit less on your side.
Yeah, of course.
Because it was like, the greatest champion of all time, Chris Jericho.
He's got a list.
Carl Anderson.
Of course.
So rotating fourth is here, Kurt Hawkins. You know, always looking for a rotating fourth. The original idea was to have
Bert Hawkins is with us today.
Hawkins Dunk, man. That was my favorite.
Hawkins Dunk, a.k.a. Bert Hawkins.
So, take a drink, Ski. You just swore.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, Hawkins has been on Talking
Shop. Don't take the Honky Tonk man's name in vain, GD it.
Hawkins is on a talking shop from Japan through Voxer via Voxer.
Really?
We were load skied.
I had no idea that ever happened.
And we Voxered Hawkins.
I barely remember
that. Hawkins Voxer, that's so 2010, isn't it?
Hawkins Voxed back and wanted Gallows to tell a sandwich story. And we were so loaded, Gallows told this long sandwich story. I go, Jesus, thing's boring. We started burying Hawkins over Voxer. Like,
yeah, did you guys know Hawkins Tonk Man from your previous run?
I didn't know Hawkins Tonk at all.
I've known him forever.
Because I barely
2005.
Since you're here with
what's your
puke and ice cream with Punk?
Yes.
What's your guys' history with Markins?
Oh, just a lot of
Hawkins.
Just a lot of closed door encounters, pillow talks.
I've got a great
of that nature.
Hawkins Tonk story, man.
Ooh, let's hear
if I can tell. First of all, let me do a quick segue.
Chris, your hair looks great.
Well, thanks, man.
Look at this guy.
Chris has a nice seat right in front of the mirror. He can look.
Look how much better his hair is than Braun's.
Hey,
man. Place is a poop tap.
Braun is going bye bye.
Braun's hanging on by a thread.
What I was gonna say is that, you know, when we first came up with this idea to do this, I rented a nice suite at the Brooklyn Hilton, up, a big two-room suite, and then things changed, and now we're sitting in a one-bedroom apartment.
Wodka was flowing.
Everyone's lying on the bed.
Wodka was flowing
there was
in China.
There like four losers in a room here together. So Hawkins Tonk Man, you might not even remember the story. WrestleMania Miami with CM Punk.
Okay.
I get to the building. I pull out all my gear, and I've forgotten my knee pads.
Oh.
Dumbest thing you could do. Now, I wear a certain type of knee pads. They're like volleyball knee pads, Trace knee pads, and no one in the locker room had an extra pair except for Hawkins Tonk.
And those are good.
If it wasn't for Hawkins Tonk, man, I would not have been in the WrestleMania.
No WrestleMania.
WrestleMania for me.
I got a feeling you would have found some
knee pads. It's just like the most random thing of all time. Yeah.
And other than that, we have nothing in common.
We were always on different rosters.
You guys don't even like each other.
Goodbye. Yeah.
It was actually my idea to invite you to this, though, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
It was.
Yeah, we voted no.
Well, I feel like
you were going to pick me out.
I feel like if Drunko was here, it'd be a lot meaner to Hawkins.
He's just going Hawkins.
Or to you, Chattel.
Oh, to everybody.
Oh, my gosh.
Except for Gallows.
Man.
Oh, I got it good a couple times.
Oh, in Japan.
Well, in Japan, I got it. Well, we didn't do it.
We
didn't do a talking shop.
Chats flies down.
Flies down.
Your pain ace, though, just entered the podcast.
I've had a fly issue for a long time.
I know that.
Is your weenski pulling it down just out of habit?
My Shelton Benjamin's about to come out.
You wish you had a Shelton Benjamin, pal.
That's more like your
Hornswoggle.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you like... Oh, what?
Hold on.
Oh, that's Shelton's gimmick.
Hey, is anybody in there?
Oh, hey, Shelton's gimmick.
Oh, hey, I'm Shelton's...
Oh, you're... Jesus.
A brand new character debuting here on the Sober Tishes New York edition.
I've only been on the podcast in Japan. What's going on, guys?
Oh, wow, so you actually hear this character?
Yeah.
We used to have him in Japan, and he sounded like Bill Cosby, like his voices for some reason.
Gallows' voice is so much better when he's low skim. Notice that.
Oh, yeah, so much.
Gallows is actually pretty good, so he's great sober.
Well, absolutely.
He's actually a lot worse when he's drunk.
Well, he's horrible.
Much nicer when he's sober. Yeah.
I mean, I think the last one we did, I think Gallows was tall. Yes, you and Y2 brother and Gallows talked over each other. Jericho falls down. Gallows keeps talking. It's unreal.
The last 30 minutes of the Tishes Nuremberg is some of the worst recorded audio you'll ever hear in your life. And that's where people started turning on us.
Yeah.
Because the one before that was China. And they're like, this is the greatest show of all time. We love it.
The Hawkins Tonk Man one, I was driving to like an indie show. And I was like swerving, laughing at shit.
That's what we had for a while. And then the last one, Nuremberg, was uncomfortably bad. And people started saying, this is terrible. You guys don't ever do this again.
Mexico started too with Enzo. Like, that was pretty bad.
That's right. I forgot about the Forgotten Tishes.
I had a great time that night.
Oh, I know. You remember it?
No. Yes, I do.
Well, I remember I walked into the room and I looked over and I looked at your eyes, looked at Gallows' eyes, and I went, oh no, we haven't even started yet.
We were so drunk by the time. And that's what happened in Nuremberg. We were so loaded by the time we pressed play or record. 10 minutes in, we were out of it. Terrible. garbage. The idea is you got to start at when you press record.
You take
start
your
drinking.
First drink.
That's the new rule.
That's of course the new rule.
But the thing is, by that point, we were so out of control. Tisha's had taken charge of us. We were in charge of Tisha's. It was in charge of us. And that Nuremberg one where Anthrax showed up. Remember that?
Just saw those guys.
We saw one of the Anthrax. I don't know, the long haired guy.
Yeah, he came to one of your shows, right?
Is he a young kid?
He's younger. He's like the newest member to join.
Of course, he had a beer in hand backstage.
He's a fun brother. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and then you called Carlos Colon to try and get booked.
Went down there to the island.
Oh, who's it? Oh,
hey! I just wanted to thank you guys for this new exposure in the wrestling world. Now I'm the hottest luchador in all the world, thanks to Carlos Colon and the WWC.
So how was your tour of Puerto Rico, Reptile?
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Oh, yeah? Who did you work with?
Carlos.
Oh, yeah.
Carlos is back in?
Yes, he carved my head up like a roadmap.
Well, Hawkins, when did you and Gallows first meet, though? Wasn't it in Deep South or something?
But like the thing is, he looked like he was 100 years old. So like,
That's the general opinion.
That's like,
I'm 21, he's 22, but
I think he's
pushing 50.
That's what I thought when I first met him.
You thought Gallows was pushing 50?
No, I thought he was 40 for sure.
Think about what I looked like.
I thought he was a grizzled old vet that just had been working the territories for years.
Boy, this guy must be terrible.
I'm like, a week into developmental, and I see him, and I'm like, oh, wow. Like, and I'm also racking my brain because everyone knows I'm such a wrestling nerd. I'm like, how do I not know who this journeyman guy is? Like, I got to know who
he is. Is that Jack Funk?
He thought I was the long last brother of the Foolers.
Who
never made it.
I'm thinking, well, good for him, that WWE's throwing this guy a bone,
Well, that's what I thought. That'd be Jody Hamilton made a call. I got this guy now. Exactly.
Mike Winter's son.
I always remember. I thought he was so old. I didn't know how to shake his hand. I was like, do I give this guy a real handshake? Or like, because he seemed like that type with the skullet and shit. Like, I remember racking my brain before I, And then I'm like doing this practice with him and he's the way he is. And you're like, this guy's up. You're like, what the hell is wrong with this old guy? Yeah. Oh, a year older than me? Jesus Christ.
It's like Terry Funk congratulated him.
Oh, dude.
You know that?
No.
What?
Dude, it happens nonstop.
It's true.
What happened?
So the Funker.
It was like 2006 and I was doing something. I saw Terry Funk and I said, hey, Terry, how you doing? Because I'd met him a bunch of times. I was a big Terry Funk fan. And he goes, oh, how you doing? I'm so glad they're finally doing something with you. You've been putting so many miles on yourself for so many years. Congratulations. And I just went, thanks.
He thought he was an old vet. Territory.
Recently, we're in Memphis, and Grandmaster Sex Day's in catering.
Oh my gosh!
She's brother. Hey, brother! The biggest hug ever. How you doing? Great to see you. He walks by. I go, Drew. You know Grandmaster? He goes, nope. Just met him just now.
Maybe he thought you were in the office or something.
I think he thought I was Skull or 8-Ball.
All the time, man. Skull or 8-Ball.
Is that Horace Hogan? Oh, I guess.
Every bald, painted, black, bearded,
timeless.
Is that Bluto?
He's timeless. People are going to think he's been around for years.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. That's what I figured is for first.
Remember, we were nervous when
Bully Busick Jr.
We said we wanted to get together today. You said, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this sober? Do we have anything in common?
So we're just going to sit here in silence talking to Hawkins about his losing streak for an hour or what? Like, what are we gonna do?
Hold on, do we even like each other?
Well, do we have anything in common?
It's gonna run it like a lame shoot interview.
I babysit these guys every weekend, so I'm used to it.
Hey, well, okay, so we're on our best behavior lately.
Yeah, of course we
have. Might as well just jump right into it, Gallows. Quick question for you.
Sure.
Have you peed on anybody lately?
I actually haven't.
Okay.
I've been scaling back my urine.
Because the story is, too, and we should probably go through this because we hadn't had a chance to talk about it yet. And Kurt Honkins Tonk Man was the guy that was there.
And we were having a trios tournament that night.
Right, because Chad.
I went to sleep.
You went to sleep.
Yeah.
So you're an honorable brother that
honorable
night.
Honorable brother,
Bismarck. North Dakota.
Yes.
Was it North Dakota?
And we went to the only
middle
place in town
nowhere.
Was open, the hot bar, Applebee's.
Yeah.
Little mom's pop shop called
Also Applebee's. Pronounced Applebee's.
Yeah, it's a late night French joint.
All right, you gotta be normal. And we went there, and so we were gonna start, we wanted to have some drinkskis.
But we wanted to have a call. If you remember, we were trying to do the right thing, just have some gentlemanly cocktails, but the bartender was being a real son of a bitch to us.
A little bitchy.
What happened?
She was.
A little dude.
Well, she didn't want, these have to be off the bar by a certain time.
By midnight. We're closing at midnight. If you've done midnight, we're like, that's
state
fine.
State rule,
right.
Midnight, I have to take the drinks out of your hand.
And it was 11:45. We're like, boom, take this drink out of our hand. Give us another one.
And then it went like, we want doubles. We want triples. We want just glasses of vodka.
Then it became a drinking contest.
They got to be gone by 12. Well, they will be.
25-minute drinking contest.
We sent the Guinness Book of World Records for the most vodka drank in 25 minutes because she kept saying, those have to be off the table by 12. We're like, fine.
Okay, fine.
Take it off the table now. Give us
them out of your hands.
She couldn't believe it.
Trust me, they'll be gone.
Never seen such a thing. So we had a nice little buzz going on.
Yeah,
it was good. We sprinted back because it was cold, if you remember, to the hotel lobby where you had a clothesline on a street sign.
For the record, just so like people understand why I have a better recollection of this story,
okay.
I was drinking like ultras and you guys are drinking Tito's.
Yeah,
like normal beer, well,
just like, you know. So yeah, I didn't really participate so much in the drinking contest.
I ran into a street. I remember I tried to clothesline and almost tore my arm off because it didn't move.
It was not a good
not a good
thing to clothesline. It was like clotheslining roadblock.
A road warrior hawk clothesline to a street sign.
Yeah. I've seen Y2J clothesline a couple of things like through our.
And then we get in the lobby and we're like, oh, we're not drunk enough. Let's drink all the white wine out of the pantry.
Yes, this is where Hawkins knows exactly what happened.
Oh, he should.
He should probably take over because I remember falling asleep on the couch in the lobby.
Yeah, or the floor.
Couch.
This is in a Marriott lobby. Gallows and Jericho. So sit down.
The pantry gets just
talking contest.
Talking contest.
Who can talk
stories.
The most?
You guys
talking.
Each started about 17 really interesting stories. I'm still waiting for the finish on all of them because it never happened.
We're
going to interrupt each other.
Were you sitting with them on the couch?
So we ransacked the pantry, just chips and the wine, and then I'm like, I have this great idea. I have a handle of Tito's up in the room. Why don't I go get it?
Oh, like, you idiot. We've been sitting here for an hour. You're like dumb and dumber. Like, with these gloves help? We're like, we've been sitting here for an hour.
Of course, Jericho starts yelling at him.
Yeah. You stupid idiot, dumb idiot, moron.
Go get it, you idiot. What are you thinking?
It's a little cloudy. Chris ends up face down on the floor. Me and Gal sit there and just like brother talk for 45 minutes.
So Jericho just fell asleep.
The front desk guy's a fan. It's a low traffic time.
Fall asleep is a nice way to put it.
Fall asleep is something you do by choice.
No, he was
passing out of something that just happens.
Sleeping on the carpet in front of the doors in the lobby. Yeah. People just
and we're sitting in the couch behind him. Just
Bismarck ain't never seen such a thing.
Yeah, just having a great time.
Hurt my rib.
Probably was like, oh,
Shadow's kidneys are hurting from laughing.
Finally,
I think falling asleep is a nice way.
Let's call it a night, man. Let's get Chris up. And we go to grab you, and you popped up like kind of like Chris Farley. Like, we're like, where are we going? Where are we drinking? What's next? I'm like, holy shit, he's back to life.
Hawkins put so much into that, his toque fell off right there.
His toupee fell off.
Your hair still looks pretty good.
Better than bronze.
So then I remember waking up, and then you're like, well, I kind of have maybe some more vodka in my room. I was like, what the hell, dude?
So hold out on, man.
Drink that coffee.
What happened up there? A lot more.
After your nap, you kipped up and wanted some more.
I wanted some more. We went back up to the room, and then I'll let you take over in a second, because I remember this. We're starting to talk, and Gallows and I are now... Once again, now I'm starting to get mad because every great story I have, he just cuts me off. Let me tell you about the time I jammed with the Beatles. Why is the fart in my pants? Let me tell you the time that me and Vince McMahon booked the territory. Hey, look at me. I got weird ears or whatever the hell you were doing.
That's your guys' friendship.
We
were sitting side by side on the end of your bed, and Hawkins was opposite us like a teacher looking at the class.
So what do you remember?
This is in Chris's room?
Yes. Now were you a little bit loaded at this point?
At this point, I'm participating in the Tito's. But like,
Do you remember anything that we were talking about?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, gotcha.
This would have been rubbish. Like,
it was garbage.
Yes,
stupid. But we're down to like the mixers are gone, and just you guys are just
ice.
They're out of a hand.
They're passing.
Passing it back and forth, telling each other how much you love each other.
So Gallows is taking a swig of the handle, hands it back to Y2 brother. He takes a swig of the handle,
and I guarantee we weren't saying how much we love each other.
Close to each other on the bed, and I was on the couch.
I remember arguing. There was like just like constantly like
that's a drunk kill staple.
Well, we both try to get louder.
What do you mean?
You both too. For some reason I remember you both were like telling Vader stories, and not one of them got completed. Yeah, not one of them got completed.
Never even met the man.
I've
never met Vader
before. Yeah. So Hawkins does remember.
That's what I remember.
You guys are sitting there telling Vader stories.
So I can't even say what story.
Vader stories.
I get drunk enough, I have a whole fantasy life I can tell you.
So we're on the edge of the bed. We're both we're both sitting on the edge of my bed.
And then almost
talking.
Like unanimously, you both just
simultaneously.
Thank you for fixing that. Yeah,
you got it.
Didn't go to college.
Simultaneously, double down.
Became a wrestler. fall back into the bed, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, well, I'm drinking by myself. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll call a night. And I stumbled back to her.
I wish you would hang out for like 30 more minutes.
No, just watch you guys sleep.
They both just fall asleep.
Right, like, okay,
fall asleep's the nice way to put it.
Right, that's
where I exit the story. There.
Okay, so and I see Gallows's awesome 1988 brother snakeskin boots.
Oh, yeah.
And I recognize those boots.
Wake up.
Okay, yeah. So I
tell the whole thing.
I'm arguing with Gallows. I vaguely remember Hawkins sitting across from us.
And
then I wake up and I'm in bed and I look over and it's Gallows next to me. I've woken up next to some real monsters in my life. This was the worst. But I just remember he still had his snakeskin boots on, similar to now. And I thought, oh, I guess, like, what the hell happened? Like, all the lights, I think maybe you turn the lights off as a nice gentleman would do. Or maybe not. I don't know. In my mind, the lights were off.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I guess I'm in bed with Gallows. Okay, that's fine. Whatever. Go to sleep.
Back to sleep.
Wake up, I don't know, 5 minutes, 2 hours later, and Gallows, like a thief in the night, has disappeared, as I'm sure he's done many times before. So I reach over to put my arm around Gallows. I reach over to kind of like, just like, you know, you put your arm as you're sleeping, and I see, like, it's like, it's cold. I'm like, why is it cold? And then it's like cold and wet. And it's not just like in an area. It's like from where his head was down to where his feet is. And Gallows is a tall drink of water. What are you, about 6'6", 6'8"?
Six and a half feet, something like that.
6'6", at least. And from like knees to head, it's wet. And I'm like, why is it wet? What's going on? And then, of course, I remember hearing these stories. You guys have told them before. And then I smell the sheets. It's like, oh, my God, it's piss. Gallows has pissed the bed, and he's left.
Gallows beat on a Hall of Famer.
Well, I'm also really drunk-ski, and I really don't care at this point. So I just curled up and went back to sleep.
Of course.
Gallows is...
Let's hear Gallows.
There's a couple versions of this from everyone's perspective.
Okay, yeah.
So Gallows wakes up.
So I wake up and I go, oh shit! Like, because I've done this maybe once or twice. I'm laying on a bed, but my feet are on the floor. Where my boots are on. And I went, oh man! I went to sleep with my clothes on. Then I went, oh man, I'm all wet. And then I went, oh no. I think I pissed the bed.
Jesus.
And then I look to my right, and I don't see anything of mine. And I look to my left, and I see Chris Jericho.
In bed with you.
Shirtless under the covers. And I went, I pissed on Jericho. Oh. What do I do? And it's like 8 o'clock in the morning, so I was like, well, it'd be rude to wake him up. And I'm not the greatest sneaker in the whole world. Luckily, he was in a deep slumber. So I got up and tiptoed out of the room, gently shut the door, went to my room, and I was like, well, we'll see what this day brings, if our friendship's going to continue or not.
I like the text at about 9 in the morning, Jericho messages, Gallows, did you pee on me?
To the group text, of course. Because if I'm getting pissed on, I want everyone to know about it. But no, when you get to your room, Gallows, do you at least take off your soiled jeans?
No, I got in my room, and I got butt naked and got in the shower.
Because
I was like...
Smart.
I was cold. You're pissed on. But
how much piss do you have? It's like all
I don't like to consider it piss. I like to say that the guy that follows us around the world and dumps water on us. That's what happened.
Okay, that's right. It's the same guy that broke the table
in Australia.
Of course.
Well, and we know that it runs the family because we've seen some footage of other members of your family. Just I thought the one footage that he showed me, and you can say who it was or not. I thought that the person was standing with his back to the camera holding a hose between his legs, that old gimmick, and shooting up. He's like, no, that's really...
You see, it runs in the family.
My 10-year-old son can piss 20 feet in the air.
And I can vouch for that.
It's unreal.
It was unbelievable.
He will always go, Dad, God gave me this talent. I'll never be able to show it to the world. And I'm like, your buddies are going to love it in like 10 years. It's fine.
Once you get into the business, kid, your buddies are going to love you.
He's going to do some funny stuff like you did.
I hope not. Oh,
yeah. Like, Chad, because Gallows ever peed on you?
No.
So as good as friends, as close as you guys, so Gallows and I are closer.
There was a time in Japan he carried me to my room one time.
Yeah.
And so like all the Japanese boys were in the lobby, and they were like, oh, Chato okay? And it was like, yeah, he's fine. And like I woke up and I saw Gallows in my bed. I was like, "What the hell is he doing here?" And then, whatever, he left. But I remember there was like one of the guys in or other foreigners was in the room next to us. They said they heard arguing in my room at like 4 a.m. So me and Gallows must have been like, "You turn the light off, the you man, you turn the light off."
Take a drink.
We were screaming at each other at 4 a.m. Like, what could we possibly scream about? Anyways, he just puts me on the floor and he flops on the bed with his feet on the floor, just like he sleeps. His arms are all the way back.
Gallows signature.
Remember the time, and I won't mention the town because I don't want to date it, but we went out to have a couple drinks, and then one thing led to another. We
Is this in a certain country?
This was in America, I believe. And I woke up in bed, and he's sleeping like on a couch that I'm like looking at when I wake up in the bed, and I'm like, "Hey, what the hell are you doing in my room?" And he's like, "What the hell are you doing in my bed?" And I was like, "Oh, this isn't my room. I'm just under the cover sleeping, covered in piss."
I woke up and I go to the bathroom. I go, "Why is Gallows in my room? Like, is he sleeping in my bed?" I was like, "Well, I guess I'll sleep on the couch." So I sleep on the couch. Gallows walks up and goes, "What? You know, like a cowboy." Gallows thinks he's really cool, you know.
Yeah.
He goes, like, really cool, especially when he gets in a mode. He goes, "What are you doing in my room?"
Oh, yeah.
I said, "It's my room." He goes, "Oh, sorry." Yeah, dude, we were in here talking, hanging out. Now,
what? No, you know what happened that night? I'm wrong. So I got up and I was like, "I got to eat this one."
Drink.
So my shirt and my jeans and my cowboy boots are on the floor. So I put my shirt on. I pull my cowboy boots on or my jeans on. I went, "Oh." It was like someone dumped a 5-gallon bucket on.
That's what happens.
And that someone was you.
Yeah. So, or Pedro.
That's what they do.
Pedro.
It was Pedro. That's from T-Lay's brother. He follows us around the world and dumps water on us. That's
a real walk
it.
Of shame when you have to put on 8-hour-old piss pants and go back to your own room.
I think we can.
Pissing's new. You didn't used to do that.
No, it started when I turned 30.
I think the piss stories could probably halt pretty soon.
Yeah, we might want to move on.
I wasn't going to look for a litany of. I think the one that I suffered was my favorite.
The main one was funny.
The best part was. The day after the incident or whatever, we animated this horrible. First off, we had a like 4-hour drive or something. We stayed in the town for no reason. It was so dumb.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and then we had this plan to work out. So we had.
It was a nice hotel. It was a nice.
Yeah. At like 10 in the morning. So Chad's always on like Japanese time. He's out there car running. I'm next. I get there. Of course, no Drew. We're like, hey. I'm like, I don't know if he's coming.
We got to call him.
He comes down. He throws, you know, all angry, hungover. Gallus throws his shit in the car or whatever. It's silent. He's sitting there. Door shuts and he goes, "Well, I pissed on Y2J.
I pissed the Ayatollah of rock and roll on
it." Either or, insert nickname like here.
I was like, "Wait, what?"
I left you two alone. So ridiculous. Let's talk a little bit about Gallows' brother boots here.
Oh, yeah.
When I first got in the biz in 1990, it was all about cowboy boots.
Sure.
You could wear snakeskin or just normal leather.
Yeah.
I used to wear them on the outside of my jeans.
If I could get away with it, I would.
Yeah. That was always a thing.
That's the old school.
Yeah, old school.
It makes me think of Sean. Right.
When I got on the airplane once to go to Japan in 94 from Winnipeg, they had just had a show. And Sean, Jarrett, and Nash were all wearing Zubaz with cowboy boots pulled up over the top.
Oh, man.
That's a statement.
That's life.
That's a statement.
That's saying something right now.
Now, you've been a big fan of wrestling your whole life. Did you ever go hang out at the hotels and wait for the boys?
You know what? I say this to them all the time. I'm the biggest, like, nutso wrestling fan. I never thought to bother someone at the hotel or the airport.
But that's,
ever.
See, that's a nice fan.
Right? Yeah. I never.
I can remember waiting outside the buildings, but I wouldn't even know how.
Everybody waits outside the buildings. That's fine.
I just never thought.
Just like, see the guys pull up.
Yeah, you see the guys pull up. That's cool.
Yeah.
But as a kid, like, well, there he is walking into the arena. That's pretty cool.
But rude and / inconvenient.
But to go to the hotel or the airport and just,
I used to go to the hotel.
Go away.
Polo Park Inn. Winnipeg, Canada. I used to go to the hotel and wait for the guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would only talk to the small guys because I was scared to talk to the big guys.
Who's the small guy back then, though?
Well, Coco Beware.
Like barely any.
Oh, Shawn he was Michaels. The first guy you talked to, right?
Yeah, he was the first guy I talked to. I think I've told the story, maybe not on this show, but I would go to Gold's Gym, which was across from Polo Park Inn, and I would hang out at the gym. And I was working out, too, but, you know, see who would show up.
See the brothers, yeah.
I remember Warrior showed up wearing his own silk jacket with has his face on the back of it. And I was like, oh, that's pretty lame. But and Warlord.
These guys are big culprits of wearing their own merch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
I'm not into it.
Even on the streets.
Do we still?
Oh. Did you just say
say that seriously? Do we?
I don't think we wear our stuff in this.
Oh, get out of the streets. And Finn, real.
I always do that. I don't want you buying. I want you to buy my shit. I
understand, but I think you can wear your friends and be supportive.
Don't get me wrong.
I mean, if you'd give me one of your shirts, I'd put it on.
I'll hook you up.
Is there a Hawkins shirt?
Oh, the losing streak got a shirt.
Nice. Is it the color of the Miami Mets or whatever?
New York Mets.
New York Miami Mets.
Shit, we should talk about that when we worked for WCW.
Let's talk about it.
Oh, man.
This is the fine tradition of Tish. Just interrupt one story, go to the next.
Quickly, though, before Hawkins buries us on our own show.
Yeah, that's true.
This, just because we're famous in New York now, we still wear free stuff. We like that.
Yeah.
Just because we came to New York and made it, yeah. We still like to wear free stuff. Yeah,
like, just because we went up north.
You wear it to like a signing.
Just because we went up north and now we're rich as hell, we still wear free stuff.
Wear it to pre-tapes. You can't wear it in real life when you go, you know.
Oh, yes, we can.
Yeah, you can. You ever take your kids to Sky Zone?
You want to tell Stone Cold Steve Austin that, pal?
See, I had a rule that I never wore my own stuff on screen for about the last 10 years because you'd never see Mick Jagger wearing a Rolling Stones shirt at a Stones concert. But tonight, I got these shirts in Hot Topic now, Alpha Club. I'm wearing that motherfucker tonight on Raw.
That's a sweet shirt.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's talk about
it. I want to hear about that, too. What do you want to talk about first?
Oh, we can talk about it. We're just interrupting each other. We've got about four stories down the line now, so let's go. When it turns into Inception, that's when you know you got a good Tish. Because I start a story, then Hawkins interrupt me, then Gal's interrupting me.
At least we're sober. We're not talking. I'm completely talking over each other.
Or just like, hi, Ryan.
Or you and Gallows at a bar. Is just the greatest thing to watch ever.
Well, you wouldn't remember that because you usually passed out somewhere.
Of course,
you leave, and then we get in trouble for the bad story that happens after.
I wish reality cameras could follow us like
we might get in trouble for that.
Just us three.
We're almost at the Brooklyn Hilton. It was on Schmermahorn.
Well, it starts out normal, then it starts out as Y2J and Gallus just talking over each other, then they start arguing.
Finish those Vader stories.
Once again, worst piece of audio, Tish is Nuremberg, if you want to be completely embarrassed by four grown men.
Ooh, I still feel like Mexico was a pretty bad one.
You think Mexico was the worst one?
No, I don't know if it was the worst one, but at least we had Carlos Colon on the thing. That was pretty sweet.
That was hilarious. Yeah.
Primo was funny. Like,
and Anthrax just randomly showing up.
Yeah. Where was Enzo? Well, that was Mexico, was Germany, wasn't it?
That was Nuremberg. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But Mexico, I felt like was
but
just...
But Carlos was Germany, too.
Oh, jeez.
Was Enzo in
Enzo
Mexico?
Was Mexico.
Oh, okay, so that one wasn't... Okay.
Right,
Mexico was worse.
Yeah.
Oh, Mexico was much worse. Enzo couldn't see straight. Like,
plus it's Enzo.
And it was Enzo.
I would take Primo over Enzo in any shape or form, any day.
Any facet of life?
Any facet of life, any sports team.
Yeah, anything.
Any, come with me to a...
Come on, bro.
Whatever. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so we were talking about, where are we at?
Dude, so you just went to Japan and had a monumental match. Monumental time. Was it fun? Did you slap Ogeechi?
I like when Chato goes into interviewer mode. And by the way, I did slap him.
Can you not beat the hell out of my sponsors anymore, please?
He doesn't like our sponsors.
He beats up my sponsors.
I know.
He's my sponsor now.
These are my friends, Chris.
I'll treat them how I want.
They like it there when you beat them up in Japan. They like it there.
That's what we all start. I go, man, Y2J thinks it's 1990 in the 90s.
No, he doesn't. He thinks he's Brody in 84 just fucking clocking everybody.
I think of Jeet Singh in 84 just beating up the marks.
Trying to have logic with Jericho. Trying to have logic. I go, Chris, man, you can't beat these guys up. He goes, oh, no, they like it. No, Chris, they don't. No, they do, man. He beats the hell out of my friends.
I said, hey, Okawa, go yourself and find me some more Yakiniku.
Oh, yeah.
Find me a bottle of vodka. And I don't want that shit stuff
Gilby's.
In the convenience store. Gilby's. He came back with Gilby's, though. First of all, Gilby's will get you. The last tour we had in Japan was one of the most craziest tours. I'm talking about the one that we all went on.
Oh, yeah. That was busy.
Once again, you get to that point, you can't get any higher. I mean, murder, maybe, is the... It's maybe. So Hawkins, man.
Mm-hmm. Hawkins talk.
I feel like I'm getting drunk now.
It's
just the sweetest. So you are now.
Our fans are.
Hawkins talk is wearing cowboy boots on the bed, too.
Of course.
Look at this.
I've got my cowboy boots over there.
Chad and Chris got the socks on.
Yeah, we're Japanese style.
So,
guys.
Yeah, who's the real brothers?
We take our shoes off.
Hawkins talk and Galito. Galito. So you've been traveling with these guys now?
Yes.
How did you end up in that piece of shit?
Gals and I have been traveling together for over 10 years because we were in Deep South together, and then we got called up to basically together and just been doing it forever.
So what are you talking about when you were in WCW?
Oh, gosh.
What's this WCW room?
Yeah, tell us about this.
We were in
and we can talk about Japan, too, but as things go.
Ran a show at City Field about
Who did Knobs?
Yes. Oh my, where the Mets play.
Where the Mets play.
Oh, and you, with your colors.
Yeah, about 2 or 3 years ago.
Big baby face.
Drew and I were both booked on it, and it was just like the wackiest day ever.
That was the night I was the most successful heel in the history of professional wrestling, except not at all. I wrestled Matt Sydal, and maybe what, the fifth match, I guess,
something like that.
So that they're not privy at Citi Field to how pro wrestling works. So before we go out through the curtain, what we may or may not be talking about.
The one and only show
about,
ever there, and probably I don't think they'll be wrestling there ever.
Who's watching this?
So that's something. I mean, it's seats like 65,000, something like that. There's, I think 6,000 or 8,000 people there. So it kind of looks like
that's
shit,
a lot of people.
But it's a lot of people.
Looks
but
like crap.
They're,
but
they're all so spread out. Right. It doesn't look good at all.
Yeah. It's like Biomon on Tuesday.
So we may or may not be talking about what's going to take place in the next 10 minutes. And the people who are supposed to be like interviewing people post match are just filming us. So it's on the Tron, like duck my clothesline.
This is a massacre.
Yeah. Of course.
So then I walk out and I go, "What the hell's going on? Oh boy, this is terrible." So
people
we have
like, duck the clothesline. You're supposed to duck the clothesline next. That's what you said.
You idiot!
Did you forget the spot?
So we get in there. We're changing the visitor clubhouse, which like being a baseball marker. I'm like, this is cool as shit, you know. Well, we get there, go to the clubhouse, and I see Goldberg. Obviously, never met Goldberg my whole career. It's before he came back and everything. You know, never been around him. So these guys goes, "Gallows, you old scoundrel!" Big hug, and I go,
"He did not call you a scoundrel.
Something like
we're
that.
We're old pirates."
I go,
you know?
"How the do you know Goldberg? What the? This makes no sense."
Because I booked him in South America when I was running shows down there.
Of course,
there.
He has some carny.
He had to escape in the middle of the night or something.
That was a different place.
He has some carny.
I still don't feel like he called him Gallows though. Do you know you as Gallows,
buddy? I don't know. He might have called me asshat.
He knows you.
Big
I saw him.
A big pop to
you
to
scoundrel! Yeah. It's Gallows the scoundrel.
I saw him at Raw when he first came back. He put his head down, shook his head with a big, massive smile, and walked right up to Gallows with a massive hug.
What's the Gallows Goldberg history?
We're buddies.
Yeah, from where?
Well, he was about to get into it until Hawkins cut him off.
Oh, sorry,
in usual talking shop style.
No, I ran a couple of shows down in Guyana where Jim Jones killed all those people. And
like, this isn't really? A rip. This is real.
And Goldberg,
how did you end up in charge of a show in Guyana?
Well, because I met these concert promoters and I talked them into giving me $100,000 and we had some shows.
Jeez.
Okay, so the first guy you call is Goldberg?
Well, of course.
Well, how do you get him?
Well, you got to have a headliner.
But he wasn't doing anything.
Well, he wasn't going to wrestle. We were going to go to some children's hospital. He was going to cut a promo. And then next thing you know, it turns into an impromptu jackhammer, which has happened to me twice in my life.
Oh, that's the best part.
So, like,
you guys had fun there, though, right?
Oh, we had
tequila,
so much fun. Yeah, we had a 5-star hotel, laying by the pool every day.
Oh,
going
man.
Out, tequila, the whole nine yards. It was great. I'll tell you a funny sidebar to this story. They were supposed to have catering. I had,
on the show.
I had that in our contract, but the catering, we get there and it's KFC. So there's like a KFC cart by like where the backstage would be. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, "Oh, sorry guys, you can have as much beer and KFC and soda as you want." Yeah, so then halfway through, they quit giving the boys chicken. And, of course, all the old-school brothers are just, like, trying to put chicken in their bags and take it home for their families. Like, it's out of control.
Save it for next week.
Yeah, yeah. So Knox and I fight over by the KFC thing, and I just go coast to coast with the color ski. And then he's working it like he's going to dump my head in the fryer, and I'm bleeding all over their chicken. Turn around, we pull the whole thing over and just
kill the chicken.
Yeah, yeah.
Horrible, dude.
But anyway, that's how
Who was trying to steal the chicken? Give me one name.
And I know you know.
I think Raven wanted some extra chicken. He was kind of mad.
There's no food here.
He's kind of mad. Like, they're supposed to give us more. And I was like, I don't know. We'll get them somehow. So
who did you put together for the Guyana roster?
Fill the roster.
Yeah.
The
Gallo's got color.
Bassman and I were there. I had such a card. I had Butterbean. I had Goldberg.
How much was Butterbean?
I'll tell you later. I had
expensive or cheap.
We don't hold anything from the Talker Chop fans.
Cheap.
How much was he?
Come on, tell me. Hey, listen, man. Butterbean ain't gonna listen
money.
To this.
Two G's. Well,
Gallows is a promoter. He has to keep the sanctity.
No, I think I gave him $5,000, maybe.
Really?
For how many shows? Two. Was he knocking somebody out?
Is he working?
Well,
or are you
okay. So
he was a big name, I guess.
So I had Bassman help me because like visas and stuff like that. So he had some of his guys, and I had some of mine. So somehow on the second night, we end up with like Butterbean and Shad Gaspard in a tag team match.
Yes.
And they're wrestling like Nature Boy Pauly and Domino. And when you talk about things going off the rails as being the guy in charge, I'm looking through the curtain going, "Oh my sweet Lord in heaven, what are we going to do to make this end? And Butterbean, who's a great guy, was a lot of fun. But he, you know, he's a boxer, but he pro wrestled with the boxing gloves on. So imagine, like, trying to shoot a guy off,
anything.
Work a spot. Yeah. He just has boxing gloves on, like, locked
right, up. Right.
It was
tape fist match.
Well, yeah, so what does he do?
Well, you gotta tell you that. Can imagine too. What he does. Nothing.
When I worked in FMW, Leon Sphinx was there.
Yeah.
Sphinx?
Sphinx, right?
He's not an Egyptian.
Is that a boxer?
Yeah, it's like Leon. He was the heavyweight boxer, champion. Yeah. He beat, like, Ali or some shit. Leon Sphinx.
Yeah, holy
and
deal,
he was, and they went through one of the phases.
Did he beat Ali or one of those guys? That's a pretty big win. We obviously none of us know boxing
let
at all.
Let us know at Talk is Jericho who he beat. But anyways, he would wrestle with boxing gloves on. But he was kind of like maybe a little punch drunk, and he couldn't discern the difference between your character in the ring and your character in the dressing room.
Oh, boy.
So there's a guy there called Dr. Luther.
Sure.
You guys know him?
Of course, yeah.
And he's really crazy in Japan, walked through the crowd kind of drooling like a crazy guy. And Leon Spinks is going, "You crazy, man. You crazy." They get in the ring and work, "You crazy. You crazy." It's like, sell for him. He's crazy. So, yeah. And with his stupid boxing gloves on, just knocking
his gloves
on. Yes. He's Leon Spinks. He can't be in without boxing gloves.
Tape his fists or something.
Well, I don't know. I'm just telling you. I feel the pain of the Butterbean.
What a nice guy Dr. Luther is.
Yeah, great.
You still talk to him?
Yeah.
It's been a while.
We met him on that
wrestling.
Yeah, he was nice.
It never came out, that wrestling project thing.
Were you in that?
You know, but all my buddies were.
No, that's where we met Dr. Luther.
Literally, all my friends came back and said, man, that guy was.
Yeah. So you guys run Wrestling
Society X, or what was it called?
Wrestling Revolution.
Wrestling Revolution. Which you funded.
I funded.
You funded.
That was $100,000 ski down the drain ski.
Thanks for funding that.
What a piece of shit that guy was, man.
Whoa.
I mean, we're not going to say his name. We're not going to say it. He knows who he is.
Yeah, he made us have 60 matches in like 4 right? days. Yeah. I was like, what are we getting, $11 a match for these?
Let's talk a little bit in depth about that, because here's my involvement. This guy. Wrestling Revolution Project.
WRP, yes.
We'll call him.
It doesn't exist, though.
The smarts know all about it. Like,
yeah, we'll call him Jack.
We'll call him David Koresh.
Oh, Jack Dogs is his name.
Jim Jones.
Jack Dogs with a Z. So he was like this up-and-coming guy that had a lot of steam in Hollywood. He was behind a couple pretty big movies. He was always a smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this idea, big wrestling fan, to do the Wrestling Revolution Project, where he would do like a season of wrestling, beginning, middle, end, like a season of Dexter, for
example.
It's
kind of what Lucha does now.
Lucha Underground? Yeah. Well, the same kind of idea, right? Where you could watch a season, and then it would be done, and then you go to the next season. And he created all these characters, and he said he's going to bring in all these guys and give them character names. Like, MVP would not be MVP. He'd be like, you know, the jailbird or whatever the hell he was. I'm not sure that that was it. But so what were your guys' characters, Gallows and Anderson?
I was Killshot.
Killshot.
Instead of Machine Gun, Killshot.
And what is Killshot's gimmick?
Nothing. Me. I said, what's my character? He goes, it's in the eyes, man. And I said, what's in the eyes?
Is this where you guys met?
Exactly. Yeah, of course. I met him there.
We
had one good con. We had one funny thing.
I was Johnny 99. I just gotten out of prison. I was trying to get my wife back.
Did you kiss a hot girl?
So at the end, I have a sweet makeout sesh, but I'm completely blown up from having a last man standing match. So I'm just like licking her face and like my sweat's going in her mouth, and she's going, "Ah!" I'm like, just keep going. They're shooting us.
Is the chick a indie?
No, she was an actress.
Yeah,
like, yeah, real actress.
Because they had some big names. Like, what talent? I think Ferg was on it, right?
No, Ferg was not.
Oh, he was supposed to. Kenny was on it, right?
Kenny ended up being on
it. Don't ask
me.
Luther
was on it.
It felt like it. Yeah.
Joey Ryan
was there.
But they gave you, like, you had to do like 10 matches in a day or something.
Yeah. It felt like almost like he was like a comic book fan, and like he was kind of like making these names out of, like, and he wanted to feel like a comic book feel.
Man,
it was weird.
Yeah.
He really liked me until he caught me by the pool.
This is a good
singing
one,
a song about him.
Gallows being Gallows.
Because I had had a couple of vodkas, and I was trying to entertain a little crew of the boys that assembled at a table, and I didn't know he was behind me. And he had this really funny Twitter handle, and I made up this little jingle about it, and I was doing this dance. Like, I would imagine him to dance, and then, like, no one was laughing, and I was like, I'm getting no pop at all. These new wrestlers suck. That's when I went, oh, hey, man.
I'd done Ring of Honor, I'd done PWG, I was working for New Japan at this time, so I'd seen like all like the internet fans like to see. I knew they liked to see those kinds of shows.
Yeah.
So this WRP is supposed to come out. It's supposed to cater to
the wrestling fans. Yeah.
And I was there, and like, if you know me, I'm a pretty honest guy to my friends, especially.
Yeah.
And I, after the first day, I remember going, "This is."
sucks.
And take a drink.
So, yeah. So, what's your producer's name?
Jack Dogs.
Jack with Dogs, a Z.
That's
Jack
right.
Dogs.
Yeah, so that never came out.
Oh, it just was terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible wrestling, terrible booking, everything.
I was going, at Jack Dogs money, mother.
Quick story as we continue on. There was once a story that Paul Bearer was once standing in front, was making fun of somebody in the WWE that's very, very high up.
Oh, no.
About their teeth.
Oh.
And you guys can take a guess who it was. And he was like, hey, I'm so-and-so, I got bad teeth. Turned around, and the guy with the bad teeth was standing right there.
Oof.
And that apparently was the end of Mr. William Bixenby, or whatever his name was, in WWE. So there you go. There you go. So I want to talk to you quickly about Japan and about Tish's OG, Rocky Romero.
Of course.
Did you guys do an episode?
We did do an episode, and he's very angry about being left out of Talking Shop. And
he's pretty much out of the cut now.
Well, he actually told me that he was so angry at the time that he did a Rocky Romero diss track on us.
Oh, we're going to bury that thing.
He's finally getting
And a diss track, if you are a rapper, is when you make fun of somebody.
Are you on Urban Dictionary right now?
Oh, something.
Are we going to hear this for the first time live?
I'll play a little bit of it for you.
Play
guys
it up.
And see what you think of. And when he sent it to me, it's actually listed as Rocky Romero diss track. Diss ya piz is what it's called.
Diss ya piz.
As it downloads, any message to Rocky Romero as we download this?
Yeah, let's hear. Let's send this.
Rocky, you know you're going down a real rocky road with this.
You know, the thing is, the good thing with Rocky is, like, I'd like to just fire him, but he's
we need him.
He's so good at being a sidekick.
Well, he told me he's the
greatest.
Austin said that he drove you guys to 317 Gimmick Street. Yeah. His podcast. So
he's a great guy to sit under the table and hand you beers. It's awesome.
He was at the Tokyo Diz when he was with Sho and Yo.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Matt Jackson powerbombed him on the rampway, and he stayed there for like 12 minutes. Just dead.
It was great.
Worst powerbomb of all time. And he came up with a patch.
Oh, I missed Rocky.
Let's see if we can hear. Hold on.
Came up with a patch.
Oh, wait. I got to turn up.
Yeah, turn the speaker on, babe.
Yeah, my speaker's screwed up, but I will turn this on. Okay, I'm going to turn it all the way up. Here's a little bit of a Rocky Romero diss track on us. Luke Swallows, he called him.
Swallows.
And why too junk?
I'm going to shove him up his own ass.
I got a gripe, you got four mics. My first hand, you going over 30 minutes. My man, if you go over, who the hell's going to want to hear?
He says, no, you should never go over 30 minutes.
He's right.
That was an old rule, yeah.
I guess Mike open, but what about me, bro? Let's address the elephant in the room. You got a new producer and it ain't this who.
I'm a buffoon.
What a shot.
What a piece of shit.
Yeah.
So what? You got wittier rhymes. So what? You got more than half an hour. So what? You got your own channel and all the power.
So what, you're better than me in every way? No, I do got the power, and the power, I'm shutting you down.
That's right, Rocky.
Diss your piz, Rocky.
You
go
son
fizz
of a
your
gun
ass.
I think at the end of this, diss, he actually goes, he goes, y'all's podcast sucks. Yo, can I get on?
So there you go, a little bit of, I always love how he sent it to me as Rocky Romero diss your piz track.
He came with us to 317 Gimmick Street, and like it was great talking with Stone Cold, but just having Rocky there, because like,
that was fun, man.
I think he looks at us still. He's been like, he's one of our best friends. He looks at us as just complete enigmas because we're so out of our minds.
You an enigma. I said idiots.
Yes.
He goes, to complete idiot enigma. No,
idiots.
It was not the word. A quick little origin story since we're talking about comic books. I want to hear the first time that you guys met, Gallows and Anderson.
We met at that WWRP.
Okay.
It was,
that's not true.
What else?
Oh, Gallows has a memory.
We met at the some WrestleMania. I was in TNA and you were in Japan, and it was like a Kevin Nash party where people go and drink and sign autographs.
No, 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 no. That was after.
Hawkins has been around.
That was 2011. That was 2013. Oh. You're wrong, pal.
Okay, well, it's not the first time.
Great story. I have
a dispute.
I have no idea about timelines or buildings or anything.
We met at that WRP thing, and we actually were outside laughing about the old indie Brothers Shake.
Okay, famous dad. And my shaking the guy, and the guy said, "Hi, Cuban Assassin." And I was like, "Your name is Cuban Assassin? That's kind of weird."
That's a hell of a first name, Cuban. Yeah,
yeah. But then Cuban Assassin.
I got to get related to Cuba Gooding Jr.
I got to give Cuban Assassin, like, so that the Cuban
Which
Assassin.
Which Cuban Assassin was
exactly?
It?
I don't know.
Get some heat.
I don't know.
The guy from Stampede Wrestling, the guy from Puerto Rico, David Sierra.
I buried the meeting. So I buried the meeting on Stone Cold's podcast. I go, "Who's this Cuban Assassin? He's not a Cuban. He's a goof, whatever." And then the guy messages me on Twitter, and I go, "Oh,
Fidel Sierra?"
No.
That's what I said.
Well, it must have been an uncle. He said he's my uncle. Know your history. And I was like, well, excuse me. You know?
This is after the podcast?
Yeah. But then I looked at his picture. I was like, wow, that actually is the guy that I met. And I was like, man, I can't believe you actually existed. Like, and then he seemed like a pretty nice guy.
Well, you just gave him his second rub. I don't know what he's so pissed off
about. I'm giving him some more rub. Listen,
his rate just went up on the indie.
The new Cuban Assassins, I think his name is really, I think his Twitter name was like Richie. And I was like, he could have just said, "Hey, I'm Richie." You know?
No.
So anyway, so Richie Cuban Assassin, I'm glad that we're good now. Yeah. I hope to have a break of bread with you someday.
You don't.
He actually existed. It's great.
So let's talk quickly about Hawkins' wedding. Very famous. Obviously, Finkel gave you the announcement.
Your lovely wedded wife.
Drew no showed it. It was cool.
Oh, okay.
I had a booking.
Did you really?
Yes.
Yeah, a Cinderella.
Was his avatar?
No, didn't you get married the same day as
the thing?
Chris Cage?
Same weekend, yeah.
Yeah, see,
Chris Cage got married too?
Yeah.
I skipped both.
Yeah, you skipped both, yeah. You didn't make it either.
But what I want to hear about is when Hornswoggle fell down the stairs. Because let me tell you something. Let me tell you a quick little Swog story, okay? Yeah. This little bastard shows up. We have a big show in Green Bay, Fozzie Gig.
This little bastard.
I'm not doing the old school wrestling. It was a big house. It was a good house. It was a good venue. So Swog shows up and he wants to watch the show. But he shows up completely loaded, like us at the beginning of Talking Shop, and just goes downhill.
Yeah. This doesn't sound like him at all, but okay.
He's like heckling us.
What?
From side stage. Now, I'm in the middle, and Rich Ward is on the side, and Rich doesn't really know Hornswoggle. All he hears is like, "You guys suck." Yes. Now, for me, it's starting to bug me. For a guitar player
like that, right?
Who's playing, and he's like, the crowd's having a good time, and he's like, "Who the f*** is this guy? Take a drink." Then I go into the crowd at one point, like not the crowd, but there's a barricade. I always stand in the barricade and do a song. I feel this biting on my freaking calf. It's Hornswoggle biting me.
Why are you singing?
Well, I'm singing in the front row, and I kick him off like a thing. Then backstage, he shows up. He can't talk. He can't walk. I have to walk him out of there, and he's literally like,
he's a million pounds.
And you know, exactly. He's very ass heavy. No, you can't pick him up.
He's bottom heavy.
He's 3'1", 402.
Try and pick up a 200-pound bowling ball.
Yeah,
ain't gonna work. But he can't even talk. He's like, he's worse than me and Gallows in Nuremberg.
Well, it must be 3-4 beers in. He's
I don't know.
He weighs 260.
Little people can drink. I've learned that.
He can
that.
Drink, yeah.
Really?
So, yeah. The big famous video from Hawkins' wedding, Hawkins Talk Man, is he falls down the steps right when you're announcing
Which
him.
Was a plan.
I heard it was a work ski.
Yeah, well, work ski. Okay. Which people don't know that. But it was still funny. The best part about it was that, like, if you haven't seen it, it's two staircases that meet in the middle, and then they walk down together, and they're all in the wedding party. So he was in my wedding party. So the best part is that he just that completely... that's another funny story I told you guys. Like, my wife's like, Dylan's in the party, like...
In your wedding party.
Like, we're taking
Who are we going to match him up with?
Know, we're going to match like, you know, we got photos for the rest of the time. They're going to be hanging in our home, and like, you know, he's...
I mean, he's like, come on.
But yeah, it's great. I think it's great.
Go ahead.
But anyway,
what?
So he plans this thing, and he takes like a great like
Dude,
pro wrestling
the stairs.
Stunt bump.
Stunt
man. It looked great.
It had to hurt.
It had to hurt.
Yeah. Completely just mortified the girl who's about to walk in with the, you know.
He didn't smarten her up.
Oh, hell no. No, that was the best part. Yeah, that was the best part.
What a worker.
TJ's big laugh was great,
yeah,
too.
TJ's
like,
TJ's laugh.
Because he's next. He's in the party, too, or whatever.
Did he know he was going to fall?
I think only me and TJ knew.
Oh, jeez.
But still. He still could. You could hear TJ's deep laugh.
To add on to your story, he completely blacked out about halfway through and went missing. And then, like, my other, like, civilian friends at my wedding party found him up in the suite, like, the bridal suite. And he, like,
a civilian friend.
Like, he took, like, an hour power nap on the couch and then came back.
Of course.
And party the rest
He's
of the
like
night.
Me in the Hilton lobby.
Yeah, same scenario.
He just needed a little fire up ski.
Did you fall asleep? Man. I think fall asleep was
Hey, remember that?
Nice
were you in the hotel room that time when, I forget what he asked. I don't know if he was coming in my room or staying in my room, but he wanted to take a dump ski.
I know exactly. I watched the whole thing.
And he wouldn't shut the door.
That was Dylan's big rip.
And his little feet are dangling. And I go, shut the effing door, man. Like, I got to sleep in here. And I think we may or may not have had a couple of cocktails beforehand.
We were getting ready to go out somewhere.
There was a bar downstairs. I remember that. And I wanted to go. And he's there shitting with the door open. So I was like, I know how to get him in my stupid head.
I love
this. This is how I'll get him. I pulled out my slacks that I was wearing with cowboy boots all the way around my ankles, and I start hopping backwards toward him with my bare ass because I'm going to put it into his face.
Towards him with a bare
because
ass.
Because he can't really get off the toilet very well because he's too small, you know? So I'm like, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you.
So the athlete that Drew is and trips.
No, I don't trip. As I turn to get my last big laugh and look at the boys, I turn and my forehead smashes into the door jam going into the bathroom, and I get immediate massive color.
Still cage color.
I'm dancing around my ankles. My dicky doo in the wind, blood everywhere, and they can't. Everyone's rolling on the ground.
Me and Bruce just like losing it.
So then, like, I'm all mad, but I'm like, we're still going to the bar.
Oh, that's
so like,
so
we're
great,
sitting at the bar, and I'm holding a napkin on my head. And there's just blood running down my face, and Swamp's like,
those are in the skullet days where like if the bar didn't allow a hat. We had to just keep hopping.
We walk up to a club, and I have a beanie or a bandana or something. They go, no hats. I go, nope. Let's go, boys.
Is there a demographic of chicks that like the skullet gallows?
Man, there's some good stories that you don't know about that from that era. I had a chick in Atlantic City one night, and we were you know, having some private time.
Yeah.
And I remember I had this polo like skin tight beanie on. I thought it was a pretty sweet hat, you know. And we're doing our deal, and I can feel it starts going up as we're doing the work, and I keep pulling it down, but I'm starting to sweat, you know. Got a little buzzy, so I'm putting some time in, and it keeps going up and pulling down, and then finally, we're getting into the throes of passion, and it pops off my head. She goes, oh, my God, you're bald. Get off me. And I went, what? And she goes, get off me. And I go, I can't finish. And she goes, no. And I went, oh. And she got up and put her clothes on and left. And I was like, come on.
It's like when Hogan's bandana would fall off in the middle of a match. Yeah. It would just be a second of like, ooh.
Have you ever told us about like when you were made to grow it out by Johnny and like, hoping that he'd tell you like it looked horrible.
Well, I thought it was going to be a rib, and it was an action. I go, you're big and you're young, but we got too many bald guys. And I was like, yeah, but my hair really won't grow. And I'm 20. And he's like, just grow it in.
This is before you were signed, right?
Yes. Yeah. I was trying to get signed, calling his phone every week, talking to him about how good I am and why I should be signed. So then, like, I come to be an extra in Baltimore, and the skullet's growing out. I feel so stupid. I got my dad's suit on and this horrible skullet, and I'm this young, awkward kid. And he walks up to me, and he starts fingering the curls in my hair, and he goes, oh, your hair's coming in good. And I was like, is that a rib? Like, come on. So, like, I had that hair from, like, 2004 until 2009.
Oh, my God.
And I had such an awesome hat collection, though.
Oh, yeah.
That's such prime, like, your early 20s.
Those are my early 20s. I spent them with a skullet.
I think we should make this public
now. I did pretty
now.
Good, though.
Yeah.
We should make this public now because we've been trying to change it because we're not very internet savvy, Gallows and I are not. I mean, we know what to do, but we don't know how to switch certain things. And like Gallows is a single man, right? He's been on a world tour.
Yes.
All and like he goes, we've got to do something about my Wikipedia, man. I go, why? He goes, I meet these girls and then, you know, they find out that I'm famous and all this. And they go and Google me and it shows that I'm married. So I look like a piece of crap. We got to change my Wikipedia. So I'm trying to, I'm on the Wikipedia.
We're not smart enough to do it.
And I don't know how to do it. So I think you can just publicly change these things. So I go on and I'm trying to do it and show that he's not married. But like, we can't figure it out.
It just doesn't work.
Is the pic like a Festus pic? Or
is it? Still says
it? It shows it's spouse.
All right. So somebody out there that's tech savvy, let us know how you change Gallows' Wikipedia.
Or just go do it.
He's single. Or
absolutely insane.
Just put single and ready to mingle. I hear women really like that.
And I know you are out there, take a drink, because
a drink.
I've been dead three times on my Wikipedia.
Really?
Page. Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. Died, you know, April 25th. And I'm like, you know, that's a pretty weird day. Because imagine if I really died that day, some guy like a...
That would suck.
Guys, that's not a funny joke.
It's not a funny joke. So don't do that. But change his status from... And please, this is the words we want. Take it away from married to single and ready to mingle.
To mingle. Make that sure that's...
If you do that and you can prove to us that you're the one who changed that, you'll get a prize.
You will. Absolutely.
Let us know at Talk is Jericho. We'll send you a prize.
Yep.
And keep it that way because I'm sure some of those butt heads are going to go back.
But actually, you're married.
He's like, man, it was like we're driving somewhere, and like he's on his phone, and I'm driving. He just goes, son of a bitch. watch. And I go, what? And he goes, nothing, you know. And I go, what is it? What's wrong? He goes, man, it just happened again. Like, this girl I just met, like, ready to meet me. She wants to meet up. Then she goes, oh, you're a piece of shit. You're married. I go, I'm not married. He goes, well, it says on your Wikipedia
arguing
you are.
About it. Like, come on.
But he just, he's sitting in the bathroom. He just screaming about it.
So help us out with that. And speaking of the Twitter, let's go on to the Twitter. I put the call out this morning to ask
fan questions.
Fan questions. I've looked at none of these as we're getting ready to wind down here.
Of course.
This has been a good episode. We actually have a lot to talk about.
We have lots to talk about. We're actually friends.
We actually are friends. We have a great group text, too.
We do have a great group text.
Meet Gallows Anderson and the Joes that are Samoan.
Yeah,
great guys.
The Joes from Samoa.
Okay, so should we start with some questions, fan questions?
Please.
Patrick.
Oh, hey, Patrick.
Hello,
at
Patrick.
At P-Dunn Chi-Town.
At P-Dub.
And you know we're not... Lodsky, because before we say Patrick's a piece of shit.
Oh, hey, Patrick, how you doing?
That's
man?
A fake name.
That's a fake name.
We're being nice to him.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, buddy, how are you? What are the qualifications to become a good brother? Is what Patrick's asking.
Ooh, wow. Great. Well, since I think the original good brother could answer that, but I think you just being, you know, I think it's self explanatory.
Yeah, I think that the way that we all started saying it, and I started saying it the most, was like, it'd be like asking, like, is this guy a dick or not in real life? Like, is he cool? Can you come hang out?
Are you a good brother or not, bro?
Yeah, it's taken a lot of turns since we initially called it.
Someone has a good time and enjoys life on the road and is
one of the boys,
cool to the other brothers and not a jerk and not a politicking backstabbing.
Yeah,
someone you'd let pee on you in your bed.
Yeah,
yeah, okay, exactly.
I think the term's been thrown around because I see a lot of people post pictures and say, "Oh, sitting with some good brothers," and I see the picture and I go, "Those are not good brothers."
Right, right.
And we know. I think the original guys can say that.
Yeah, and those of you who are using it wrong out there, shame on you. Yeah, we're not drunk.
And we'll find you.
Yeah, make up your own.
And we'll out you. We'll have our new friend on Wikipedia put on your Wikipedia page that you're not a good brother. In fact, you are a bad POS brother.
We're going to coin a new term for you.
Brother status. Yeah, if they're good brothers, more power.
What's your brother status?
Hashtag brother rating 10. I'm bringing it back. I used to tweet that all the time.
Okay, here's one all four of us can answer. Bonet_Lay.
Hi, Bonet.
Hello, Bonet.
She's a girl. Liala.
Is she sexy?
Yes, she's very sexy. Who is your dream wrestling opponent and why? Let's start with you, Honkins Tonk Man.
Ooh, like living or?
Like anybody. I'll make the rules. Living dead or living dead if they're actually zombies. One of the two. Ooh. Living dead or living dead.
Well, I got to take advantage of dead people right then, right?
Sure. Yeah.
The fantasy of it.
Why would I say somebody that's alive? Because it could still happen.
Because it could still happen. Yeah.
Hawkins taking a turn for the dark side here?
Hawkins turns the Y2 jizz on the juice.
Probably Chris Candido or Eddie Guerrero.
Wow.
That's two good
interesting
ones.
Choice on Chris Candido. Underrated, underrated guy.
Most underrated workers of all time.
Interesting.
So actually, the first time I ever trained was with him. The wrestling school was open one day.
New Jersey
I got in the ring for the first time.
His school's
him and Balls were the head trainers. We trained for like 3 hours. And on the way out, I was taking my stuff off. I'm on cloud nine. Like, I'm getting ready to graduate high school, 18. Like, this is like all I've been prepared for. And I see them bickering with the promoter on the way out. The guy was like the money guy at the school.
Of course.
Never opened another day. Yeah. I mean, things worked out.
And that was that.
How about you, Gals?
I think I would take on Bruce Brody in Puerto Rico, and we would spill buckets of our own blood.
Carlos, I like to go coast to coast. I know you like the juice. That's what he said to him. I know you like the juice. I go coast to coast.
Chato?
I would have probably used to have said that my dream opponent would have been Gail Kim, but since I have a beautiful... Since I have a hot Asian wife, I can't hark her anymore. So I guess I'd probably go with... I'd like to go with the Nature Boy in his prime.
Nature Boy. Nature Boy wanted a piece of you after...
Oh, yeah, he did.
Oh, yeah.
After you imitated him on the first
dishes.
But
then the Nature Boy calls me laughing and goes, I'm sorry, brother.
So
good.
Great.
I love you.
Uncle Alan does
Nature
imitation.
Nature Boy still caged in Chicago. No big deal.
You tell that Carl Anderson he's a piece of...
Speak up there, Hawkins.
I'm going to say Owen Hart.
Oh, that's a great choice.
Yeah, that's actually one of the reasons why I signed with WWE. If there was 10 reasons, that would probably be 9 or 10, and then he had his unfortunate accident, so I didn't ever have the chance. So
And
Dan Young.
Hi, Dan.
Which sounds like a bullshit name
to
me.
Hey, Young Dan, you little son of a gun, you.
He says, finish the...
I like us being nice to Dan, like nice to the guys now.
This is just... this is no answer. This is just great. Finish the Muhammad Hassan story from Talking Shop Hawaii, for God's sake.
No.
We have no clue what it is.
It was our first tissues, and I was about ready to tell this killer story about Muhammad Hassan.
This killer story. Just this amazing story.
This killer.
killer Mahamasan story.
And I kept trying to go back to it. We just got interrupted. I think security came that time.
Okay.
Security came some good every ones. Time. Security came where we had the security on. We had the waiter and waitress on in China. What was the waiter's name? Gallows?
Didn't security come in China?
Timothy? Albert.
Albert.
Oh, yeah. Like we needed more drinks in China. Yeah.
Well, Gallows bought a bottle for $750.
I did,
don't you remember? Then I went downstairs and got the shit kicked out of me by Curtis Axel. So there you go.
Luckily, I was asleep again.
Yeah, you don't
point.
Remember it.
I think asleep is a nice way to
put it. I remember Cena slipped and fell wearing a really weird plaid suit. He slipped in some water and fell on the ground. There you go. Oh, God. Denise Winkelman, we love you, but have you read any good novels lately?
Denise Winkelman.
I'm reading the Brian Pillman book. I can't
Not exactly
down.
The reading crowd, but the Brian Pillman book.
Denise Winkelman, friend of the show. Down. Hello, Denise.
Hello,
yes,
Winkelman.
We've been reading some good novels.
Oh, really nice to everyone now.
Yeah,
look
nice.
Under your
like
seat, Denise,
now.
And you're going to find a prize, just like Oprah.
Yeah, we're going to have a... We haven't been reading any novels today.
No, but
we've been reading novels at all.
Reading a good Brian Pillman book.
I love it. It's brand new.
And you said you just booked Brian Pillman Jr. on your show.
I'm on my student shows. Yeah.
How do you do?
Great.
Any drop kicks in there?
I haven't seen it yet. I'll see it this week at tape review session at the school.
Oh, wonderful.
CreativePro Wrestling.com.
It's the what now?
Well, like when
tape review?
Yeah, so like
what's
the show is this weekend, and my next class I'll watch the whole show with them and break it down. And
but did you say tape review?
Tape review. I still call it that, even though it's a DVD or it's
what's tape review?
That's what I'm used to from like deep
tape review. Come on.
Yeah, isn't it a pay per view?
No, tape like
oh tape review.
You make them watch the show.
Tape per view. I couldn't catch your Long Island accent. Yeah,
Long Island.
I kind of wish Drunko was here. You just would have started just
start. Just start.
Shut up.
Start beating him up.
It's not your show anyway, Hawkins. Be quiet.
Phone cord or something.
Should we ask this one? This is kind of a serious question since you guys are two of the founders.
I mean, let's go.
Josh England, which is definitely a bullshit name.
That's not real.
Hi, Josh.
Yeah.
Hi, bullshit. Shit, Stevenson.
Hello, Josh. How you doing?
Me and Gallows are trying to go the other route, and you're just pulling us back. Chad's always the voice of reason on these shows.
Unbelievably, on these, the Talk is Jericho, Talking Chops, which had us reach a whole new audience. I've actually been.
Mexico vividly, you just sitting there trying to control.
Trying to keep it.
Ridiculousness.
Yeah.
With Sam Adonis just trying to.
Just trying to get in there.
Trying to bust his way in the whole time.
You should put me on the show. Hair versus hair match with Reptile.
Sam Adonis was there.
Yeah. He did bring a... Well, I'll leave
it. Yeah, leave it at that. Thoughts on the Bullet Club since Gallows and Anderson moved on from Japan?
You know, I think it's they're doing their thing and we're doing our thing.
That's it.
Yeah, nice question. What's the name, Dave?
Who's in the Bullet Club now? Oh,
well,
Kenny,
you know, I like
Larry Zbysko.
Kenny Omega's one of just... Kenny Omega's just a ridiculous
Link.
Performer. I love Kenny. Kenny's my buddy, so I like any success he
Missing
has.
Link Jr.
Missing Link Jr. is there. Horace Hogan's back in.
Oh, gosh, that'd be awesome.
Robo Brazil the fourth.
Horace Hogan would be a great rotating fourth.
Gosh, we need to get Horace Hogan.
We really
on
do.
Absolutely.
He never really talked too much, but maybe he'll have some things to say.
He might.
A couple more questions. Here's one from Nikki Six. Van Halen. That doesn't sound like a real name.
Yeah, now that might be a fake.
It's a tribute name.
It's Deputy Van Halen, and it's a guy.
Hello.
Hey there, Dep.
I'd say stern-looking guy. Looks like a drill sergeant.
Very serious man.
He looks kind of tough.
He wants to know if...
kind of tough.
He looks very kind of... He wants to know if Doc Gallows is still on the Tinder World Tour.
Yes.
Yeah, well, yeah, of
and
course.
That's why we need
yeah.
you guys to change his Wikipedia.
What was
Gallows
the gentleman's
is,
name?
It was... Deputy Van Halen.
He kind of looks like a short-haired Wayne Bloom, if you will.
Yeah, Gallows is on a world tour.
Wayne
if you're single,
Wayne Bloom.
Who's that from again?
I thought you were Wayne Bloom. That's Knobs thinking that Axel was Wayne Bloom on the phone.
Oh, yeah. It's a voicemail from Brian Knobs to Axel.
That was the thing from the tour at that point in time where you just said it over and over again. There was
I thought this was
what's the other one.
Sasha. Sasha!
Sasha! Sasha! Sasha! She don't like it.
That's what I was hoping for, Schmiermerhorn, but we weren't at Schmiermerhorn.
Schmiermerhorn.
Last question. This is from Jamie Lee Mack.
Hey, Jamie.
Hello, Jamie.
I love his Tinder. Or sorry, his Tinder.
Tinder.
I love his Twitter description. He's Canadian with a gut. So you know
he sounds pretty awesome.
That's a good brother right
like
there,
him.
Canadian with a gut. Jamie Lee Mack wants to know
Canadian.
Who drinks you under the table every time.
each other, ourselves. Each other. We battle ourselves every time.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. That's whoever is the last man standing.
We're never battling each other. It's always against ourselves.
It's whoever who chooses to go to sleep rather than who actually just uncontrollably passes out. If you uncontrollably pass out, you lose.
Yeah, it's just because,
Well, career loser.
It's all a battle against yourself.
All time, Mike Knox.
And well, he was just a mutant. He's another one.
Cena got me once. The only guy I can actually say, I woke up. He came in my room, put me to bed, and then I woke up with him in my room listening to my iPod drinking my beer. That was like a triple whammy. In my bed, drinking my beer, listening to my tunes.
Wow,
choosing, scrolling through.
Listening to my
tunes.
What songs
do I like that Jericho has?
Mind game.
And I was like.
In your phone, just going, yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't have any Waylon Jennings, so maybe I'll try this,
ACDC.
Until
this nerd wakes up.
Oh, terrible. Last one is this one's from Johnny Enzi. Hooligan814, can Good Brother Gallows give us his Jamie Dundee story? Is that a story, or is that
which one?
Jamie Dundee,
Or maybe a Jamie Dundee story. I never really knew Jamie Dundee. I just know he was always hooked
I've
up
had
with
a couple
the
funny run-ins with him.
You didn't know he was going to be there, right? With Cabana.
Well, yeah, that was we were filming that wrestling Road Diaries thing, and I said you need to just. He's like, I need good content. What do I do? And I go, Jamie Dundee's over there. I would open up your little purse strings because he's notoriously cheap and buy him whatever he wants from that bar and just let him talk. And it was amazing. And I'm not going to put my stamp of approval on anything that he said, but it's worth a listen.
It's worth a listen, right?
I heard a secondhand Jamie Dundee story that I loved one time, and I forget who. It was one of the elder brothers told me that they were on an independent show somewhere in Tennessee. And Jamie Dundee was not booked on the show, and he came running into the show shirtless. And he goes, hello, boys, and he jumped and put his back against the wall. And then two police officers ran by. And then they stopped, and they started talking to this congregation of wrestlers in the hallway and go, has anybody seen Jamie Dundee? And the boys being the boys go, no, we haven't seen anywhere. They go, well, he's got no shirt on, and it says Dundee across his back. And Jamie Dundee was just standing there with his back against the wall, and he went, no, no, no. And then the police officers ran away, and he goes, thanks, boys, and ran out the other side and got away. I don't know if it's true or not, but I sure love it.
At the risk of sounding ridiculously ignorant, who's Jamie Dundee?
Oh, come on.
Come on.
PG-13, the son of Bill.
Oh, Bill Dundee's son, who was always kind of on the outskirts. Did he ever actually work here?
He did.
Yeah, Farouk is the man. He's for real, not playing, right?
Farouk is a man. Hit your knees and start praying. Nation of domination. We are the nation, live and in color. Mess with Farouk and I'll bone thrust your mother.
Wow. That was actually the lyric of the song? Yeah. Wow.
He rapped it?
Amazing.
Yeah, PG-13. Jamie and...
Original Nation.
Because PG-13 went to WCW for a little bit, right?
Yeah, Jamie Dundee and Wolfie D.
Wolfie D.
Okay, yep, I know that.
Was Wolfie D? Wolfie D was Jamie Dundee, and then the other one was...
Wolfie D was Jamie Dundee?
Yes.
Who's the other guy?
We're all confused.
Oh, I know the other guy. He lives in Tennessee.
Wolfie D and Jamie Dundee. That's like Y2J and Chris Jericho.
They're the same guy, pal.
Could be, man.
I can't think of his name.
I can't remember his name.
Flash
on the original TNA.
Yeah, what the hell's his name?
Jeez Louise.
Anyway.
Okay, well, shout out to the guy whose name we can't remember. Last question here. It's Raw 25. It's JC Ice.
JC Ice and Wolfie D.
Did we just get that?
But isn't JC Ice Jamie Dundee, too?
Could be. They're all Jamie Dundee.
We didn't talk about your Japan at all. There's a whole other one we can talk about now.
Oh, you can ask. I mean, I don't have to go anywhere. It's up to you guys. I don't care.
We do have a call time now. One time.
My whole goal was coming in here and talking about his match at the Tokyo Dome. We didn't say one word about
it. We wanted, but that's almost more of like a... we got a couple more minutes. The call time, they know you're with Jericho.
This is the new
they know
Focus.
Cool.
Focus Brothers.
Well, you told Nicole from Talent Reliz that you're with me.
Yeah, we're with you, yeah.
I got lots of power now.
Lots of strokeski.
I got a lot of strokeski. Actually, held off on coming here until I got exactly what I wanted for the show.
Beautiful ski.
Tonight. So I got me and Hawkins Talkman, a SUV in a Brooklyn.
Beautiful.
So
what was it? Was it fun going back to Japan?
It was awesome.
Because the last time we all went, we had an awesome time.
We had an awesome time.
And you got to go back for New Japan.
To go back, and the cool thing about it was, and this is not a slight to anything, but to go there and not have to have anything approved.
Sure,
of course.
And just any idea. I mean, obviously, Gato is the booker, and he had some ideas and some stuff. He put the hammer down a couple times, but the majority was, here's what we're going to do. And let's do it. And that was cool.
How many years it been since you worked for a Japanese company?
20 years.
Wow.
The last time I was there was 98. Me and Eddie Guerrero versus Otani and another guy. It was for a one-shot at Yokohama Arena when Eddie was Black Tiger. So 20 years to get there.
Yeah.
But the best thing was, it's funny because Robbie Brookside sent me all these pictures from when we were there in 95 with Tigers in it.
Wow.
And just to see Tiger then and now, and obviously he's still Tiger. He's hilarious. Yeah. Drunken Tiger Hattori.
Hattori, yeah. Hattori's famous for talking shop. He's famous. Hattori, yeah.
Yes.
And just talking
hey,
shit.
Hey, man.
Hey, yeah. Gallows Anderson, you guys hey, big time guys, job boy. Job and boy. Say hi to, hey, where's Irish boy? You tell Irish boy. I said, hey.
Irish boy, meaning Finn Balor.
Man. Dude, you sent that one. I think you sent a video and you said, hey, say hi to Chad-o. And he goes, Chad, like Carl Chad Anderson, Carson, Chad. Idiot.
Oh, Chad, you job boy, man.
Man. Again, no clue who I was.
Well, and the thing what? Was, so
at Chad, who's Chad, man?
When we started the negotiations, Tiger was kind of the middleman. Worst middleman ever. I said to him, Tiger, you've been living in New York City for 40 years. How the hell do you not speak English?
Yeah.
You're not even 10%. I know as much here, Japanese, right? Yes, yeah. As you know English.
And I wonder if that's part of his negotiating tactics, just
to
be like,
is.
You know,
because yeah.
I mean, because
so.
He understands everything we say.
Absolutely. So it's like, maybe, I don't know, man. Yeah, it just the final thing is when they came up with this idea. Actually, Don Callis had the idea, and me and Kenny and Don talked about it, and then Kenny pitched it to Gato, and then they flew four guys to New York to meet with me. Gato, Tiger, Rocky was there, and Sugabashi.
And my sponsor was there.
And I was like, what the hell is he doing here?
He slapped him.
Slapped him across the
face. Yeah, I said, don't say anything, bitch. I slapped him twice.
Don't say anything.
And he just stood there looking at me with his fish eyes.
He's
got kind of big fish eyes, like bulbous fish eyes.
Oh, he's a great
Although
man.
I will say this. Oh, he's a great the last man. Time we went out, I sent Gato an email. I said, please say thank you to Oguchi for a great night out.
Oh, and he finally has he finally earned your respect?
I finally, yeah. Yeah. Because he just kept hanging around.
No more slaps.
It took so long.
Yeah.
He still might get pied across the eyes next time.
He's a great guy, though.
Great guy. But I said, listen, if I'm going to do this, it's got to be a big offer, because I got to go to WWE and tell them, and they're like, okay, we understand. And they come in, they offer me $10,000.
Remember you said that, yeah.
Which is what I made for a spoken word thing in Winnipeg for like an hour, like a week. Like I made more for my spoken word in Winnipeg because I got a little bit of merch ski money on that. Then they're asking me for a main event of the Tokyo Dome after I told them it has to be a big money offer. I was like, you guys are the dumbest idiots in the world. Don't ever call me back again. Oh, no, it just a start. It's not. It's not. I'm like, Tiger.
Oh, you better start times that by 10.
Yeah, buddy, what the hell are you doing?
I remember you were saying that, that you, of course, you wanted a nice payday. And I was there for 8 years. I knew how they worked. And I remember telling Gallows, like, they're gonna come at Chris ridiculous.
Well, I kind of figured they'd come in low, as they should. But I was like, that's not even low. I mean, that's like, I'm sure, like, Juice Robinson makes that.
Well, yeah.
You know, I'm nothing against Juice, but...
I don't think he makes that. Remember, Juice was the first guy that negotiated a contract wanted less money.
We're trying to tell him how to do it. He goes, well, what if they just say this and I'll be comfortable with it? And I go, yeah, but wouldn't you rather have more? He goes, well, yeah, but I'd be fine with that. And I go, like, you're horrible at this.
It was like this. I said, dude, go in there, ask for five. He goes, yeah, but I don't mind taking 2.5. I go, no, but take five. He goes, yeah, but I'll take 2.8. What are you talking about?
As long as there's a five in there somewhere, I'll be happy. Yeah, so, but it was a good time. It was a lot of fun, and like
glad
I said,
it worked out.
Yeah, it was great, man. It was great. Great group of guys, great foreigners there. The Japanese guys are good.
A lot of foreigners there, too.
A lot of foreigners. And the reason for that is because Gato's trying to break into, you know, the States.
Yeah, of course.
So to have some foreign names that you know, and they're great. I mean, Cody's doing great. Young Bucks, Omega, Juice is doing good. Beretta, the real-life Simpsons character.
Oh, my gosh.
Rocky Romero's weaseling his way into the office.
Taking bumps and lying there for 12 minutes.
Oh, that little weasel at Azucar Rock.
Yeah. With his little diss track. Maybe we'll do a diss track back on you, Rocky.
We'll diss you right back.
Rocky Romero sucks.
Yeah.
That's our
what?
So, Raw 25.
Here
last
we are.
Thing. You guys have talked enough about Tokyo Dome. Is there other questions you want to know?
Still I mean, there's there. Lots, but, you know.
We get bad.
Yeah,
anyone.
Well, was it fun to walk out of the Tokyo Dome?
Well, it was great because I got to walk out to my own music, too. Oh,
was the last awesome. Tokyo Dome you did there was Super Liger?
Super Liger.
So you got to make up for it.
Yeah, I had to make up for it.
And did you see Liger?
I did.
Does he like you again?
So here's the funny thing.
He doesn't like you.
I asked Liger. Well, no, but here's the thing. I read this article that Liger did like last year. You can Google it, where he says, Chris Jericho's a genius. I watch Chris Jericho's matches for my own matches. He's great from so many years. I'm like, really? That's Liger said that? So then I was going to do some podcasts over there.
Yeah.
And I asked the office, can you ask Liger if he'll do it? yes, Liger will do it. He'll be at the dojo. He's going to bring a translator because I'm like, well, we don't need a translator. No, he's a little bit nervous about his English. I'm like, I had Shinsuke on. I had Jado and Gato on. I know how to speak broken Japanese. We'll be fine. Liger's been around the world. He's got a million stories. It'll be great. Canceled like 10 minutes before. Liger has other appointment. I'm like, really?
Nervous.
And maybe nervous. And then I see him at the Tokyo Dome. He just goes, hello. And that's it. I'm like, hey, see you later, Liger. And I was like, what's with these guys?
You never know. Yeah, you never know.
No, Japanese very...
just different.
Especially that generation, because all the guys now, like Jado and Gato on down.
Yeah.
Great. Easy. Okada's awesome. Naito's terrified of me, but in a good way.
Well, nice guy.
But the guys ahead, like Kojima's awesome, and Nagata, great guys. But then I see Nakanishi. Tenzan's the best, but I see Nakanishi. He kind of almost jobs me out. I'm like, you motherfucker.
That's, yeah.
You know?
I wonder if it's because you guys are kind of the same generation-ish, because he's different with me, maybe because I was like a young boy to him.
And when I was working over there, I was not in those guys' like... not league, but I never worked with them because I was a junior heavyweight. I worked with Liger and Otani and those guys, but never with Nakanishi. And I worked with Nagata a little bit in WCW, but maybe they still see me as the junior heavyweight guy.
They could have a little weirdness just from you being so famous in WWE, that's which true. Is kind of like their competition in their minds.
And
like,
maybe coming in there, you know, getting the top spizot.
Not 10
know.
Grand.
Yeah. So, but that's fine. It was cool. It was a great time. And everyone that was nice to me, I love everybody that didn't like me can go...
suck it. Drink
so,
up.
Here we are. Raw 25. Favorite memory of Raw. Do you have one? I'm sure Hawkins probably has a lot.
I couldn't sleep last night. I watched that special he did.
What's the special?
It's like the countdown.
Like top 10 or something like that?
Oh, nice. What was number one?
Wasn't it Stone Cold? Oh, the beer bath?
The beer bash.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And Punk's Pipe Bombs too.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, the Y2 Jizzle had to be the debut, right? That's one of them.
That might be my favorite.
That was
your
a
debut.
Good one. Yeah.
Really?
Even if you weren't here, I think I would have said that.
That's okay. when Rock asked,
huge build up.
Who in the blue hell are you?
Yeah,
that's cool, man. That's
a great moment.
It's funny because once again, that whole promo, no rehearsal, and I wrote it all myself.
Yeah,
that's and great. Nothing had to be approved.
That's
wow.
Yeah, me and Russo and Rock went over it for a few seconds. And Rock had a couple ideas, and that was it. Can you imagine no rehearsal?
Yeah,
no.
Stuff that, like, so you didn't like.
It's just so different now.
Actually, when I watched last night, I thought this. When did you hear the music for the first time?
I was at the office, and I had a suggestion, and then Jim Johnson came, and that guy was a genius.
What
man.
Music?
They just let
what
him
great
go.
Music?
He was so good at picking music for the vibe of everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, he was really, really good at that. And that's when they started bringing in this. Was it CFO or whoever does the music now? Yeah. I didn't know why. Sometimes I think they make changes here just because they want to make changes. Because Jim's still better than that. The stuff that they write isn't as good to me.
I mean, his stuff's gonna live forever. It's timeless.
Yeah. You know, the little stuff like breaking the glass, break the walls down, like the little kind of if you smell the Rock is cooking, the little warning that you're coming out, and then the big pop of circumstance.
Yeah,
the crowd that's like everyone. I guess I don't want to say the internet's in its infancy, but it's not like that popular. I guess no one really knows that it's you.
Then once that Jericho, then it's a Tron, that pop comes.
It's a cool moment. Cool.
How about you, Gallus?
To think of one, because I feel like I watched all of them until I was like here.
In the biz, yeah.
There's so many, but I was doing media the other day, and the guys started asking me, and I drew a blank, and all I could remember was the main event of the first Raw. And it was The Undertaker and Damien Demento.
Really?
And I started talking about Damien Demento, and the Sports Illustrated guy goes, dude, I can't believe you're talking about Damien Demento right now. Well, that's just me. I'm weird as hell.
What was his gimmick, Damien Demento?
You kind of look like him, too.
My developmental gimmick was kind of a little takeoff of Damien Demento.
Was he like the Satanist or something?
He was in the same training class as DeMott.
Yeah, he was. Mondo Clean from Johnny Rod's school. Yeah.
What a name, Mondo Clean.
Yeah, but he had weird hair and fur, and he talked to himself and stuff, and he was just like... this '90s villain who I don't know what happened.
You completely ripped them off in Deep South. I just realized.
Well, there you go. Took you this long.
How did I just put that together?
Was that the freaking Deacon?
The freaking Deacon.
Oh man,
sneaking freaking Deacon. Yeah.
Hawkins is in full talking shop mode. He's pouring little shots of water into his glasses.
I need like vodka. I haven't had my like caffeine intake yet.
You need like a little something to get yourself rocking and rolling.
We've never done a talking shop in the light.
Oh yeah, this is great.
It's really great.
We can, we can do these.
I want some sunglasses on, a couple beers.
I can promise you the fans will love this.
Well, and this is, now we've cleansed the palate.
Yeah.
So next time we can go
just
off
the rails.
So insane.
I'd like to crack a few this time, man.
Dude, man, I'll tell you what.
We've never done one outside. I propose we do that. Like, yeah.
Hey, stars. With Stone Cold, there was like 40 beer skis around
the
table.
He told me. Yeah.
He called me the next day and he goes, son, I got to tell you, my abs hurt. Yeah. I ain't laughed that damn hard in 10 years.
I got to go check that out. That was just a recent Stone Cold, both his uncensored and his family-friendly show, I'm sure.
I think he just put us on the uncensored.
I don't think we made the family-friendly version.
I go, hey, Steve, can you? I go,
you
Steve.
Had me popping like a mark.
Yeah.
Says it on the box.
Chad Dubert and Tex Ferguson had me popping like a mark.
This is when Don Callis is on Don. So I was like, yeah, one time I got fee-zucked, and he's like, fee-zucked? Come on, I ain't heard fee-zucked in 22 years, man. Fee-zucked.
Fee-zucked.
Stone Cold's best pop is no noise. He's he has a no noise pop. He just goes, ah! And his face is just a big.
Oh, it was awesome.
He looks exactly the same. You know what I noticed?
He does. He doesn't age a bit, man.
Anytime I see guys from that Attitude Era, I forget how big they are. Like Austin,
we were just talking about that.
I'm like, he's got to be like, to me, like you're like 6'5". I don't ever remember being that big.
He is.
And even when I saw
like Billy Gunn's a real giant.
The first time I met Road Dogg, I was like, I couldn't believe it.
When I saw Road Dogg's huge. A couple years ago, after not seeing him for 10 years, I was like, oh my god, they're both like 6'2".
Yeah,
I forgot the guys then were just bigger. Yeah.
And then I took Jeff Hardy's Swanton for a week in Europe, and I realized he was the biggest son of a bitch in the world.
He's heavy.
Well, I'm serious. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
It was worse than taking one from the human condominium, King Kong Bundy.
Is that a guy? Is that actually?
Is that his name?
That was his moniker. I just wanted to say human condominium.
He wasn't doing Swantons off the top rope.
Condominium's a word of the past anyway.
You got it. A good call. Like it's condo. Yeah.
They really called him that?
Yeah, the human condominium.
Do you got a favorite moment, Chato, from Raw?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many. The one when we debuted on Raw was the coolest thing that ever happened.
I liked it. You guys both had jeans and a nice shirt on.
Just the fact that we'd...
Fresh face. Go back and watch that. You guys look like you're about 10 years younger.
Yeah, a little skinnier.
Last year.
I mean, I remember just like before we went out, I was like, we're about to debut on Raw. This is insanity.
Yeah.
Insanity.
Then we had next week, we had our big talk with Vince where we walk in, we go, hello, Vince. You want us to wear these shirts?
Yeah, it was like,
all right.
We asked the writers, like, do you want to wear the same color shirts? What do you go? Well, go in there and talk to Vince.
We had nothing else to say, so we're kind of like,
so we sit down and we go, Vince. Right. He sets us up chairs. What do you guys need? We said, well, do you want us to wear this same color shirt or not?
These right here.
And he goes,
yep.
I think gray and black will be fine. Yes. Anything else? Anything else? And we go,
nope.
No. And he goes, Jesus, I wish they were all that easy. Well, I wish we had more to talk about.
I wish we would have said a million more things.
Why couldn't the writer just tell us that?
I wish we would have established a relationship and we could come over for Thanksgiving.
It's embarrassing.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's great.
That's pretty much our last sit-down with him, too. He hasn't let us in since.
For me, two things. One, my favorite match ever is the match that doesn't exist for obvious reasons. Me and Benoit versus Triple H and Austin. Oh. We won the tag titles, has got to be one of the best moments in Raw history, just from the reaction and the craziness of it.
Someone Hunter Torres quad?
Hunter Torres quad, that's right.
Title win, that's State College,
they flip it.
We just worked there. I told Ferg or somebody that this week. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure Jericho won the belt here in that Raw, and then they flip it.
They flipped it back, And then for, I think, to being in WCW and watching Raw, when they announced that Foley was going to win the title on Nitro.
Everyone flipped.
And it was like, that was by far, to me, the most bonehead move in WCW history.
That was nuts.
Thinking,
oh, it's a title change. Let's watch.
Yeah.
Exactly. Sweet.
Yeah.
And guess what? People like Mick Foley.
Yeah.
They wanted to see him win.
They want to see him win.
January, like, 99. Like, WWE's already winning.
It was such a bonehead move. And I remember even me, like, in my infancy in the business, even though it had only been 9 years or whatever, just going, that's it. It's done. Like, we're done. WWE is now going to be the place to go because you sounded like a bitter jackass in saying that, oh, let's see if that puts asses in the seats.
Yeah, yeah.
Not only did it, but you're like, We're done. You don't need that shit. Yeah. So to me, that was the end of WCW.
Wow.
And Raw. So as we do Raw 25, Gallows, you're going to take us out by giving us a grizzled young vet, or do you have a new song?
What a beautiful, what a beautiful sober tish is.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Are we going to play Fall Down Man?
We're going to play Fall Down Man by your friend. Has a great version of Fall Down.
Josh Morningstar wrote Fall Down Man. You guys enjoyed that at the beginning of the podcast.
Or actually, maybe we should play it now. We'll play it now.
Let's play it now.
But yeah. I want to hear, do you have any new songs? You always have something going on.
Have we worked on anything new?
Well, we just can't say the very end part, but how many bumps is our favorite one?
How many bumps does a hoot have to take before he's considered a good brother? The answer, my friend, is with Gallows Friends. The answer is with Gallows Friends.
Love you guys, man.
Love
you. Tish is sober,
love you,
baby. All right, thanks again to Anderson and Gallows, and of course our special rotating fourth, Kurt Hawkins. Talking Shop 6, sober in New York City. It's a first for us. Might be the last, but probably the best Talking Shop. You can actually understand it after that horrible bomb that we did in Nuremberg, or the hell it was. You couldn't even hear a damn thing that we were saying. We were so loaded. So it's nice to be on the straight and narrow, sober path. Thank you so much for joining us, and I hope you join us also on Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea. Setting sail October 27th from Miami, the Bahamas. $150 deposit holds your cabin. Once you book it, everything included in the booking price, all the food, all the activities, all the live podcasts, stand-up comedy shows, meet and greets, concerts, the chance to see Kenny Omega in the ring, Corey Taylor is going to be playing, all covered in the price of your cabin. Only things you pay for on the ship, drinks and gambling. So if you don't drink, you don't gamble, you won't spend any additional cash on the cruise, and you'll be able to come hang on the ship with all these incredible guests. I will be there. Jim Ross, Jerry Lawler, SoCal Val, Mick Foley, Noel Foley, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Rey Mysterio, Rock and Roll, Corey Taylor, Slipknot will be performing, Fozzy will be playing three sets, Phil Campbell and the Bastard Sons, King, The Stir, The Dave Spivak Project, The Darlings of Rock and Roll, The Incredible Cherry Bombs, Shoot to Thrill, the world's best AC/DC cover band, Blizzard of Ozzy, the world's best Ozzy Osbourne cover band, podcast as well, Cyrus and Paul Lazenby from Killing the Town, and the Keeping It 100 crew, Conan, Disco Inferno, and Shane Helms, and Beyond the Darkness will be doing some podcasts there, and Colt Cabana and Marty DeRosa doing the Unprofessional Wrestling show. Brad Williams will be there. Ron Funches will be there. Craig Gass just announced. It's hilarious stand-up comedians. Raven will be there. Busted Open Radio, Dave LaGreca and all his crew. And of course, Ring of Honor presenting the Sea of Honor Tournament aboard the ship. Matches happening in the middle of the ocean, and the winner of the Sea of Honor Tournament gets a Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Championship shot in the future. Kenny Omega will be there. Young Bucks, the villain Marty Scurll, Briscoe Brothers, Dalton Castle, Frankie Kazarian, Adam Page, Chris Daniels, Jay Lethal, Cheeseburger, Deanna Perazzo, Mandy Leon, Kelly Klein, Brandy Rhodes, Matt Taven, Flip Gordon, Delirious, Kenny King, Silas Young, the Beer City Bruiser, the Dogs, and of course the American Nightmare, Cody. Don't call him Rhodes. I mean, come on, how much more do you want? That is a huge jam-packed regatta of wrestling at sea, the Rock and Wrestling Rager. We are getting closer to selling out. We are on a sellout pace. Get your cabin now, ChrisJerichoCruise.com. Come sing a karaoke with Pat Patterson. I mean, come on, what more do you want? We are putting on the biggest show of all cruises and all wrestling and all rock and roll. James Ellsworth will be there. I mean, come on. We got a jam-packed here. Go to ChrisJerichoCruise.com and book your cabin now. That's ChrisJerichoCruise.com. Book your cabin now. All right. Thank you so much, and we will see you very soon next Wednesday right here on Tiz is Jericho. The Young Bucks. Everyone's talking about them. They're back on Talk is Jericho. They're taking over the world. And they're here on Talk is Jericho this Wednesday. We'll see you then. In the meantime, and in between time, stay hard. Peace, love, and hugs, and a big yeah, boy. We'll talk to you soon. Tish is 7, hopefully at some point. See you soon.